Quran being the speech of Allah. Al-Quran, Kalam Allah. And according to Al-Imam Muwaffaq al-Din, Abu Muhammad Abdullah ibn Ahmad ibn Muhammad ibn Qudama al-Maqdisi, according to Al-Sheikh ibn Qudama, Al-Imam ibn Qudama al-Maqdisi, Rahimahullah, he said, وَمِنْ كَلَامِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانُهُ الْقُرْآنُ الْعَظِيمُ وَهُوَ كِتَابُ اللَّهِ الْمُبِينُ وَحَبْلُهُ الْمَتِينُ وَصِرَاطُهُ الْمُسْتَقِيمُ وَتَنْزِيلُ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ نَزَلَ بِهِ الرُّوحُ الْأَمِينُ عَلَى قَلْبِ سَيِّدِ الْمُرْسَلِينَ بِلِسَانٍ عَرَبِيٍّ مُبِينٍ مُنَزَّلٌ غَيْرُ مَخْلُوقٍ مِنْهُ بَدَأَ وَإِلَيْهِ يَعُودُ. He says that, and from the speech of Allah, because we've already dealt with the speech of Allah, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the tremendous, magnificent Quran, Al-Quran al-Azim. He says that it is the book, it is the clear book of Allah, and it is the firm rope. It is the firm, unbreakable rope, and it is the straight way that is a revelation from the Lord of the worlds, sent down via by way of the honorable spirit, meaning Jibril, on the heart of the leader of the messengers, in a clear, lucid, explicitly magnificent, eloquent Arabic tongue or language, revealed, and it's not makhluq, is revealed and is not created. All of this is definition for the Quran. From Him, meaning Allah, it began, and to Him it will return. Minhu bada'a wa ilayhi ya'ud. And once again, we always try to tie in some of the other classes with each other, one class with another. Those who are in the Arabic class, we know we mentioned this harf al-jar with a domir al-muttasil. Min and hu. Minhu bada'a. From Him it began, wa ilayhi, and to Him, meaning Allah, ya'ud, it will return. The Quran began from Him and it will return to Him. And they also, the ulama, they also say, wa huwa suwarun muhkamatun, that they are decisive, clear surahs, speech of Allah, the Quran, wa ayatun bayyinat, and clarifying ayat, clarifying verses, وحروف وكلمات, وحروف وكلمات, and they are letters and words. The Quran is letters and words. من قرأه فأعربه, and whoever reads it, فله بكل حرف, whoever reads it and reads it correctly with تجويد, فله بكل حرف حرف عشرة حسنات له أول وآخر. Whoever reads one letter, or I should say, for each letter that he reads, he gets 10 hasanah, will be for him in this life, from the beginning, and the next, and the next life. In the beginning, and in the next life. And also it means from the beginning, meaning from the time he read to the end of what he read. وَأَجْزَاءٌ وَأَبْعَاضٌ. And we'll leave that untranslated until we come back, inshallah. مَتْلُوٌ بِالْأَلْسِنَةِ. It's recited, or it's pronounced with the tongue. محفوظٌ في الصدور, and it's preserved and protected in the hearts. مسموعٌ بالآذان, مسموعٌ بالآذان, and it's heard with the ears. مكتوبٌ في المصاحف, and it's written in the pages of the copies of the Quran, because there's a difference between the Quran and the Mus'haf. The Mus'haf is the actual book. This is the Mus'haf. This right here is a mushaf, this copy that I have in my hand. And the words inside, قُلْ أَتِيعُ اللَّهَ وَأَتِيعُ الرَّسُولِ فَإِنْ تَوَلَّوْا فَإِنَّمَا عَلَيْهِ مَا حُمِلَ وَعَلَيْكُمْ مَا حَمِلْتُمْ. That's the Quran. But this actual book is called the mushaf. So if someone said, pass me the Quran, Actually, it's more proper to say, pass me the mushaf. Pass me the mushaf. So the sheikh and some of the ulama have said that it's maktubun fil masahif, because masahif is the plural of mushaf. It's written in the mushaf. Fihi muhkamun wa mutashabihun. In this Quran are muhkam and mutashabih, verses that are clear and unclear. And some people translate mutashabih as allegorical, but this is not correct. To say that the Quran is allegorical, that they are allegorical verses. Fihi muhkamun wa mutashabihun. Wa nasikhun wa mansukhun. Wa nasikhun wa mansukhun. And there are also verses in the Quran that are abrogating verses and abrogated verses. Nasikh wa mansukh. Wa khassun wa ammun. And those are specific verses and general verses. وَأَمْرٌ وَنَهْيٌ. And there are verses of commandments and verses of prohibitions. All of this is the Quran, the speech of Allah, كَلَامَ Allah, the speech of Allah. In Surah Fussilat, and I don't know the number for Fussilat, if somebody has a copy of, somebody has an English translation, English Mus'haf, they can get it over there, inshallah. And the chapter called Fussilat, verse 42, you can look it up, inshallah. And while you're at it, get Surah Bani Israel, verse 88. Fussilat, verse 42. Where Allah says, لا يأتيه الباطل من بين يديه ولا من خلفه تنزيل من حكيم حميد. Found it? Fussilat? Let me see it, inshallah. We can pass it to the brother, inshallah, he can get it. Fussilat is Surah 41. What was the verse? 41:42. 41:42. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu says, لا يأتيه الباطل من بين يديه ولا من خلفه تنزيل من حكيم حميد. This is talking about the Quran. Falsehood cannot come to it from before it or behind it. It is sent down by the all-wise worthy of praise, Allah. Tanzeelum min hakeemin hameed. And again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the 17th surah of the Quran, which is Bani Israel, verse 88, قُلْ لَئِنِ اجْتَمَعَتِ الْإِنْسَانُ وَالْجِنُّ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَأْتُوا بِمِثْلِ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ لَا يَأْتُونَ بِمِثْلِهِ وَلَوْ كَانَ بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ ظَهِيرًا. Say, if the human beings or if mankind and the jinns were to gather together to produce the like of this Qur'an, they could not produce the like thereof, even if they helped one another. And in this particular verse, just a side note, when Allah says, قُلَّ إِنِ اجْتَمَعَتِ الْإِنسَانُ وَالْجِنُ, that if all the human beings and all the jinn got together, it's worth noting that when Allah mentions, or when the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions, the human beings and the jinn gathering together, or if the whole world gathers together, this doesn't mean the human beings today and the jinn today. This means all of the human beings from the first time Allah created the human being all the way to the human beings, the last human being is on the face of planet Earth. All the human beings that have ever lived, all the human beings that were ever conceived in the womb of a woman that were aborted, all the human beings that were stillborn, all the human beings in any form, shape, or fashion, and all the jinn, it means all of them. Doesn't just mean human beings today, like if everybody in this world got together with all the jinn. It means all the human beings. From the first time Allah created them, even the ones that died, stillborn, aborted, whatever, doesn't make any difference. If all of them got together, and all of the jinn got together, they would never be able to produce the like of the Quran. Not one surah of the Quran. As far as speech in the Quran, the ulama say, القرآن الكريم من كلام الله تعالى منزل غير مخلوق منه بدأ وإليه يعود، فهو كلام الله حروفه معانيه، دليل أنه من كلام الله قوله تعالى: وإن أحد من المشركين استجارك فأجره حتى يسمع كلام الله. And this is Surah Tawbah, verse number 6. Surah Tawbah, verse number 6. Is anything specific about Surah Tawbah anybody want to just share with us that they know about Surah Tawbah? Huh? It doesn't start with the Basmallah. Anybody know why? It's inside, that's the reason? It's inside? It's inside the surah, you mean? No, because it starts, actually, the ulama say that the Surah Tawbah is the continuation of the surah before it, which is Surah Anfal, Al-Anfal. And since Surah Anfal started with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and Tawbah is a continuation of that, there's no need to continue. English translation of that ayah: وَإِنْ أَحَدٌ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ اسْتَجَارَكَ فَأَجِرْهُ حَتَّى يَسْمَعَ كَلَامَ اللَّهِ. And if any one of the mushrikun seeks your protection, then grant him protection so that he may hear the words of Allah. So that he may hear the words of Allah. And again in Surah Al-Furqan, which is chapter 25, in Surah Al-Furqan, chapter 25, verse number 1, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, تبارك الذي نزل الفرقان على عبده. Blessed be he who sent down the Furqan, meaning the criteria of right and wrong, meaning the Quran, to his slave, that he may be a warner to al-alamin, that he may be a warner to his human beings and the jinn. And again in Surah Al-A'raf, chapter 7, verse 54, أَلَا لَهُ الْخَلْقُ وَالْأَمْرُ. To Allah belongs the creation and the command. To Allah belongs the creation and the command. The first verse that we gave in Surah Tawbah, verse number 6, about the mushrikun, if anyone of the mushrikun were trying to be protected, that the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them that they will listen, or tells us that they will listen to the words of Allah. This word, this ayah that says Kalam Allah in the verse Surah Tawbah means the Quran. The next verse, Tabarak alladhi nazzala al-furqana ala abdihi, blessed be the one who sent down the Furqan on his slave. This is the proof that the Quran was sent down, because there are some people, unfortunately, they say that the Quran was not munazzal. That the Quran is not munazzal. And this is a proof. Chapter 25, verse 1, is a proof that the Quran is munazzalun, that it is sent down. As for the dalil that the Quran is not created, that it's uncreated, it's chapter 7, verse 54, which we just gave. Chapter 7, Surah Al-A'raf. And what's the ayah again? 54, do we say? 54. This is the proof that the Quran is not that the Quran is not created, and that proof is أَلَا لَهُ الْخَلْقُ وَالْأَمْرُ. As we just mentioned, his is the creation. Surely to Allah belongs the creation and the commandment. How would that be a proof that the Quran is not created from that verse? أَلَا لَهُ الْخَلْقُ وَالْأَمْرُ. Surely his is the creation and the commandment. How would that be a proof? The Quran is a commandment. Right. So how is that a proof that it's not created? MashaAllah. That's it. Somebody's thinking, alhamdulillah. Yeah, in that particular ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the command. To him belongs the command. He's made the command not created. If Allah would have said that the Quran was created, he wouldn't have stopped and said, he wouldn't have continued and said, to him belong the creation and the commandment. He would have just come out and said, the Quran is created. And he's in this ayah, he's saying that Allah is saying that he made the commandment not created because he separated them in the statement. To him belongs the creation and the commandment. Right? You follow what we're saying? So the Quran is part of the Quran is part of the commandment. You follow? Who doesn't follow? No? I lost somebody? You lost? You sure? You got it? You think so? All right. The reason why the Quran is part of the commandment is in Surah Shura. This is the proof that the Quran is part of the commandment, which is Surah Shura, chapter 42, verse number 52. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَذَلِكَ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ رُوحًا مِّنْ أَمْرِنَا. And thus we have sent to you, O Muhammad, an inspiration and a mercy of our command. Of our command. So this is the proof. Allah made the command uncreated. It's not part of the, it's not created. His command is His words. And the Quran is that command. So this is the proof. This ayah 52 and verse 42 is a testimony to verse 54 of chapter 7. Because Allah says, "Ala lahu al-khalqu wal-amr." To Allah belongs the khalq and the amr, the creation and the command. If the Quran was created, then Allah wouldn't have called it part of the amr of the commandment. Because they both come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are both attributes of Allah. Creation and commanding are attributes of Allah. You follow? So this is the proof that the Quran can't be created. If Allah sent down from Himself the commandment cannot be created. The Quran cannot be created because it's a speech. And it's part of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has attributed to Himself. Now, you going to say something? In Shura is verse 52. And in Surah At-Talaq, the chapter called Divorce, verse 5, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says again, ذَلِكَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ أَنْزَلَهُ إِلَيْكَ. This is the command of Allah which He has sent down to you. This is the commandment of Allah which He has sent down to you. So the reason why is because the speech of Allah is an attribute of Allah. And if Allah is calling His speech the commandment, it can't be created. It's an attribute of Allah. Alright? It's uncreated. As for the statement of the ulama when they say that it comes from Him and it returned and will return to Him, this takes a little grammatical background. For those who've been in Arabic class, inshallah, you may be able to catch it quicker than the other people. When we say that the Quran, if someone says the Quran is created, and Allah says, He calls the Quran Kalam Allah, the word Kalam is the mudaf one, right? And the word Allah is the what? The mudafun ilayhi. When Allah attaches something other than what He created to Himself in an idafa construction, it has to be suitable to that which Allah has attached it to, which is Himself. Therefore, if Allah attached it to Himself in an idafa construction, and it's not a creature of Allah, then it's not created. Simple, right? Well, it's not so simple. In other words, there's no way that the word kalam could be made in the idafa construction to the word Allah, saying that it began from Him. Because this definition for the Quran is minhu bada'a. It began from Him.
Rasulullah ﷺ didn't begin from him. Rasulullah is created. Right? We don't say that Rasulullah began from Allah. We don't say that Adam began from Allah, or you and I began from Allah. We say that we created by Allah. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the ulama say that minhu bada'a, it began from him, when you see this in the idafa construction, kalam Allah, or kitab Allah, this means that this is in idafatan to Allah. This is connected to Allah, meaning that it is an attribute of Allah. That's right, it's dhatiyah. It's a dhatiyah attribute. Anytime you see that like that, you know this is an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or he wouldn't have attached it to himself. And that's why the ulama say that it from him it began. As for to him it will return, that means that Allah will eventually, one day, remove the Quran from the Mus'haf, from the pages of the Mus'haf. And this is something that is strange for people when they hear it. That there's going to come a time that the Quran is going to be removed. That's going to be removed from the pages of the Mus'haf. That this Mus'haf is going to be blank. Allah is going to remove it so that the words are no longer there at the end of time. And the proof for this is the hadith that is authentic from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, stated by Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Innahu yurfa'u min al-masahif was-sudur fi akhir az-zaman," that it will be removed from the pages of the Mus'haf and from people's hearts at the end of time. It will be removed from the pages of the Mus'haf, and it will be removed from the hearts of the people. And this is collected by Ibn Majah and Al-Hakim. It's collected by Ibn Majah and Al-Hakim. And Al-Hakim said it is sahih on the criterion of Muslim. And Imam Al-Zahabi agrees with him. And our Shaykh Nasruddin Al-Albani says it in his Sahih, it is exactly the way Al-Hakim says it is, that it is Sahih. Once again, the meaning of that it began from him and it will return to him, began from him, meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who commenced the statement by saying it is the kalam of Allah. And when Allah makes in an idafa construction the word kalam to his auspicious name, Allah, we know it's not created. If he says it began from him. As far as meaning return, it will return to him, meaning that it will be eventually lifted from the pages of the Mus'haf and from the hearts of the human beings. There will eventually come a time, at the end of time, where you won't be able to find the Quran in the Mus'haf, and you won't find it in the hearts of the human beings, even if the person was a hafiz of Quran. It will be removed. And this will be one of the last signs of the Day of Judgment. That you know that's it. No more Quran in the hearts of the people or on the pages of the Mus'haf. And of course, for those people who try to get really analogical and real technical, it also means CDs, it also means tapes, it also means videos, it means all of that. It's going to be completely removed. Huh? We don't know about the hadith, but it mentions the Quran. Yeah. Inshallah. As for the Quran being Al-Kitab Al-Arabi, we have quite a few proofs from the Quran that the Quran is in the Arabic language. We're going to skip those, inshallah, and go straight to what the kuffar say. Those who disbelieve. Well, I should not say what the kuffar say, or what Allah says the kuffar say about the Quran. In Surah Saba, which is chapter 30 what? Anybody know? 30... Nobody's memorized these things, huh? chapter 34. Chapter 34, verse 31. This is what the Kuffar say about the Quran. And see if you can think of any Muslims who say this, who say these things. And I don't think you can, but you might just remember some. Chapter 31. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the kuffar say, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, and those who disbelieve say, لَنْ نُؤْمِنَ بِهَذَا الْقُرْآنِ. لَنْ نُؤْمِنَ بِهَذَا الْقُرْآنِ. We don't believe in this Qur'an. No Muslim says that, right? No, we won't find any Muslims that say anything like that. Not outright, at least. لَنْ نُؤْمِنَ بِهَذَا الْقُرْآنِ. We will never believe in the Qur'an. In this Qur'an. And in the surah called Al-Mudassir, Al-Mudassir, in verse 25 of that surah, Al-Mudassir, the kuffar say, إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا قَوْلُ الْبَشَرِ. This is nothing but the word of a human being. This is nothing but the word of a human being. What verse did we say? 25. That's the 25. That's the 25th, 25th verse of Surah Al-Muddathir, chapter 74. Right. And then in the verse right after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says what He's going to do with those people. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from that. سَأُصْلِيهِ سَقَرْ. I will cast him into the hellfire. Whoever says this is the word of a human being, Allah says He will cast him into the hellfire. And there are others, like in Surah Yasin, in the 69th verse of Surah Yasin, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the kuffar attributes poetry to the Quran. Chapter 36, verse 69. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they say, وَمَا عَلَّمْنَاهُ الشِّعْرَ وَمَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُ إِنْهُ إِلَّا ذِكْرٌ وَقُرْآنٌ مُبِينٌ. And we have not taught him poetry. This is in refutation to the kuffar. And we have not taught him poetry, nor is it meant for him. This is only a reminder and a plain Quran. And somebody might say that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has recited poetry before. How do we understand this verse? How do we understand it? Anybody have an idea? How do we understand it? The Prophet has been, there are authentic hadiths like in Muslim where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has recited poetry before. So how do we understand him reciting poetry and Allah's statement, وَمَا عَلَّمْنَاهُ الشِّعْرَ وَمَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُ. We have not taught him poetry, nor is it meant for him. How do we understand that? Yeah, that's it. The Quran is from Allah. This is not poetry. But the people of the past used to think that this was poetry because it rhymes. Some of it rhymes. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدْ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقَ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقَ. It rhymes, right? الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين. So they thought it was poetry. They couldn't figure out where the Prophet was getting it from. You know, this is why they made up all kinds of stories that he was a magician, that he was a soothsayer, that he had learned from the Jews, he had learned from the Christians, because they couldn't figure out how a person that couldn't read and couldn't write was getting all this information, especially about stories that they didn't even know that existed except from their elders. And he had too many, they were in too precise of a detail. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَمَا عَلَّمْنَاهُ الشِّعْرَ. And this is, we have not taught him poetry. Okay, enough of that. There's too many verses to prove that the Quran is not the speech of anyone except Him, except Allah. We're going to move to the next one. The next statement is that the Quran... No, we'll skip that. Yes, the Quran is letters and words. Al-Quran hurufun wa kalimatun. The Quran is letters and words. Okay. Number one, according to Ibn Qudama, he says the kuffar say that the Quran is poetry. The Quran is poetry. But it's not possible. Ibn Qudama, he says, it's not possible that the Quran be described as poetry because it's nothing but words, but letters and words. And he brings in his book, Ibn Qudama, a book of science of Quran called Al-Burhan, in the section where he says, وَمِنَ الْمَعْلُومِ أَنَّ مَا عَلَهُ وَهَذَا النَّظْمِ لِأَنَّ الشِّعْرَ كَلَامًا مَوْزُونَ فَلَا يُسَمَّ بِهِ مَعْنَى وَلَا ما ليس بكلام فسماه الله تبارك وتعالى ذكرا وقرآنا مبينا. He says, it's already known that those particular people who ascribe this particular idea to the Quran, that it is poetry, is false. He said, and that the Quran is poetry is false. He said, because poetry is measured speech. What he means by that is, mawzoon, poetry has meters. I don't know if anybody ever studied this. Any of you have been in high school or college where you studied poetry? Anybody ever studied poetry? You know about meters and things like this in poetry? There's, in poetry, there has this thing called meters. And I myself, I'm not exactly sure how it's done. But when you listen to the Quran doesn't have this, these meters. There's certain, yeah, there's numerically, you can like, it numerically comes out so where this has to go right here and this has to go right there, and there's a rhythm and it's a method to it. The Quran violates that method. It doesn't have that method. For instance, as we mentioned, we recited some surahs like Ikhlas and Falaq and Al-Fatiha. They have a semblance of that, those type of meters. But when you get to Surah Al-Baqarah and Ali Imran and Nisa and others like this, it violates it. It doesn't coincide with those meters of poetry. So it will be impossible to call the Quran poetry because it will be inconsistent poetry. It wouldn't be consistent because that rhyming sound doesn't always happen all the way through it. That's basically what he means. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't call poetry speech in that sense of the word. He doesn't call it speech. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls the Quran Zikr Quran Mubin. Zikran Quranan Mubinan. A clear Arabic remembrance or recitation. He doesn't call it poetry, he calls it recitation, which is the difference between recitation and poetry. And these are things that really it takes some this takes some Arabic background to really get appreciate what Ibn Qudama is saying. Inshallah. Ibn Qudama? No, Ibn Qudama came in... Ibn Qudama died, I think, 619 Hijra. 600 in the 7th century. Died 619 or 620 years after the Hijra, I think it was. He wasn't one of the Tabi'un. He was 4 centuries after them. Okay. In actuality, we're going to end this and just mention one more thing, and we're going to end this class, inshallah. The next section is on the believers seeing their Lord on the day of resurrection. Ru'yatul mu'mineen li rabbihim yawm al-qiyamah. Ru'yatul mu'mineen li rabbihim yawm al-qiyamah. The believers seeing their Lord on the day of resurrection. Ibn Qudama says, وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ يَرَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ بِأَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَزُورُونَهُ وَيُكَلِّمُهُمْ وَيُكَلِّمُونَهُ That the believers are going to see their Lord in the next life with their eyes, with their actual eyesight. And they will visit Him, He will speak to them, and they will speak to Him. That the believers will see their Lord, يَرَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ يَرَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ بِأَبْصَارِهِمْ That the believers will see their Lord in the next life with their actual physical eyes. وَيَزُورُونَهُ They will visit Him. وَيُكَلِّمُهُمْ He will speak to them. وَيُكَلِّمُونَهُ And they will speak to Him. And a proof of that is in Surah Al-Qiyamah. Surah Al-Qiyamah, the resurrection. Which is chapter... Surah Al-Qiyamah. Chapter 75, verses 22 and 23, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاضِرَةٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ Some faces that day shall be nadira. Nadira means shining. Nadira means shining and radiant. إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ Nadira with a dhad. Nadira. The first one is nadira with a dhad. The second one is إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ They will be looking at their Lord. Looking at their Lord, Allah. That's the proof. That we will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with our eyes. And in Surah Al-Mutaffifun, which is chapter 83, verse 15, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no, I don't think this is verse 15. Kalla. This is verse number... Verse 15, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَلَّا إِنَّهُمْ عَلْ رَبِّهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَمَحْجُوبُونَ No, surely they, the evildoers, will be veiled from seeing their Lord that day. They'll be veiled from seeing their Lord that day. So that's a proof. If the kuffar or the criminals will be veiled, will be mahjubun from seeing their Lord, this is something in the science of Quran. Also, they have this in fiqh. They call this mafhum makhalafa. Mafhum al-makhalafa. Mafhum makhalafa means if something is being negated over here, that means the opposite is going to happen over there. It can't be used all the way across the board, but here it's used. If the criminals are going to be veiled from seeing Allah, that means somebody who's other than the criminal is going to see Allah. That's what it means. Right? That's a proof within itself. Ibn Qudama says, أحجب أولئك في حال الصخب دل على أن المؤمنين يرونه في حال الرضا وإلا لم يكن بينهما فرق He says that when those individuals who will be veiled from seeing Allah they will be veiled because of their state of displeasure this is a proof that the believers will see him from the state of pleasure because Allah is displeased with them they will be veiled from seeing him He said the opposite, in other words, is the proof that the believers will see Allah. He says, وَإِلَّا لَمْ يَكُنْ بَيْنَهُمَا فَرْقٌ He says, and if this didn't happen, then it wouldn't be any different. Everybody would see them. But since Allah has made this statement, كَلَّا إِنَّهُمْ عَلْ رَبِّهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَمَحْجُوبُونَ That on that day, from their Lord, they'll be veiled from seeing Him, is a proof that somebody is going to see Him. Or Allah wouldn't have made the distinction. That's the proof that Ibn Qudamah is making. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said in the hadith that is in Al-Bukhari, in the book of the times of Salah, in the section of the excellence of Salatul Fajr, in Al-Bukhari, in the book of Salah, the book of the times of Salah, on the section in that book of the excellence or the superiority of Salatul Fajr,
إِنَّكُمْ تَرَوْنَ رَبَّكُمْ كَمَا تَرَوْنَ هَذَا الْقَمْرِ لَتُضَامُّونَ فِي رُؤْيَتِهِ لَتُضَامُّونَ فِي رُؤْيَتِهِ.
Surely you will see your Lord as you see the moon, and you won't have to be ضامون متضامون. You won't لَتُضَامُّونَ فِي رُؤْيَتِهِ. You won't have to, I guess the translation of this would be, you won't have to crowd up. In other words, Allah's face is going to be so clear and so plain that you won't have to like bunch up with each other, you know, crowd up just to see it. Allah's face is going to be that clear and that plain, and the vision of Him is like the vision, like the moon. Some people get confused with this hadith too. They think that this is tamthil. They think that Allah's face is going to be like the moon. The statement is not that Allah's face is going to be like the moon. It's our vision seeing Allah is going to be like seeing the moon. You see the difference? Not that Allah's face is going to be like the moon. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. No. The seeing Him will be like our seeing the moon. Because another narration says you'll see His face.
إِنَّكُمْ تَرَوْنَ رَبَّكُمْ,
that you'll see your Lord, meaning you'll see the face of your Lord. Now, as for the vision of Allah in this life, we know that this is impossible, and that the vision of Allah will only be in the next life. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-A'raf, chapter 7, verse 143, and inshallah we're going to end it here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَن تَرَانِي, and this is in reference to Musa. When Allah says, وَلَمَّا جَاءَ مُوسَى لِمِيقَاتِنَا وَكَلَّمَهُ رَبُّهُ قَالَ رَبِّ أَرَنِي أَنْظُرْ إِلَيْكَ قَالَ لَن تَرَانِي. And when Musa came at the time and place appointed by us, and his Lord spoke to him, he, Musa, said, رَبِّ أَرِنِي أَنْظُرْ إِلَيْكَ. O my Lord, show me yourself so I may look upon you. Allah responded to him, لَن تَرَانِي. You can't see me. You won't be able to look at me. You will not be able to look at me. Allah says, you cannot see me. But وَلَكِنْ انْظُرُوا إِلَى الْجَبَلِ فَنِسْتَقَرَّ مَكَانَهُ فَسَوْفَ تَرَانِي. He said, but look at the mountain. If it stands still in its place, then you'll see me. And of course, we know what happened after that. When Allah showed him some of what He wanted to show him, He made the mountain collapse into dust and made Musa become unconscious. Allahu Akbar. And that's the end of that. Any questions? Good. Question from the first class. Where is the proof that the hands of Allah are real, which can be used for any of His attributes? Where is the proof that His face is real? Where is the proof that His feet are real? The person would be asked to ask that, where is the proof that they're not? Then we take it the way it is. If Allah says it's His hands, allegorical? Figurative. The person you were speaking to says that in their aqidah, in other words, the person that spoke speaking to you said, in my aqidah, how can someone say that yadahu means more than two hands? So in essence, it's not the issue of having more than, not having real hands. The issue is how many hands. Why don't we know it's two hands? It says two hands. It says clearly, بَلْ يَدَاهُ مَبْسُوطَتَانِ يُنْفِقُ كَيْفَ يَشَاء. Is this an Arabic speaking person? Oh, he doesn't understand Arabic, obviously. Yeah, because the word hand in Arabic is what? Yid. Even though in the Arabic class we haven't gotten it, do you know how to make the something dual? Huh? Yadain would be the mansub or the majroor. But if you have the word yad in the plural, in the dual, and it's marfu', how would you say it? Yadain is mansub and majroor. Yadan. Yadan is marfu', and yadain is mansub and majroor. When you want to take something that's dual and make it mudafun, and in the idafa construction, you remove the noon. Now say it. No, we're talking about dual now. The word is yadan. That's yadan is marfu', because the sign of raf here is aleph in the noon. Right. Yadan is marfu', yadain is mansub and majroor. Yadan, yadain. Right? Like you say, dhammatain, fathatain, kasratain. Actually, it's dhammatan, kasratain, fathatan. That's actually the way you're supposed to say it. Right? But the Arabs don't use it that way. They put it in the mansub or the majroor. Mansub. They say fathatain, dhammatain, kasratain. But actually, it's kasratain, dhammatan, and fathatan. Anyway, if you want to take the word that's dual and you want to put it in a dhafa construction, making that word mudafun, you drop the noon and then you add the mudafun ilayhi. In this sense, the dhamir muttasil, hu, is attached to the word yadan. So when you want to make it mudaf, you drop the noon. They call it hafzun noon. The noon is deleted. So that makes it now with the noon deleted, is how you say yadan. With the noon deleted, how do you say yadan? Yada, right? Now add the domir. That's it. Bal yadahu mafsultatan. Right? And the khabar is still right there. Mafsultatani. Yadani mafsultatani. But yadahu mafsultatani. Marfu'. There's no way you can get more than two hands out of that. No way. That person doesn't understand the Arabic language. Obviously. Yeah. Anything else? No. In the Qudama, we skipped over the proof that he gave. It was just too many things. Actually, I got lazy and I didn't feel like mentioning it. Yeah, he says, ولا يتلى إلا ما هو حروف كلمات. Right, this is one of the proof that he gives. Surah Yunus, the surah called Yunus, verse 15. وإذا تتلى عليهم آياتنا بينات قال الذين لا يرجون لقاء نأتي بقرآن غير هذا أو بدله. And Surah Yusuf is chapter 10. No, 12. Yunus, chapter 10, verse number 15. He says, and when our clear verses are recited unto them, those who hope not for their meeting with us say, bring us a Quran other than this, or change it. Right? He says, وَلَا يُتْلَى إِلَّا مَا هُوَ حُرُوفٌ وَكَلِمَاتٌ. He said, the only thing that can be changed that's recited, nothing can be recited except words, letters, and words. That's it. He said the verse is actually it's a logical proof based on this transmitted proof. If Allah says, "Wa idha tutla alayhim ayatuna,"
And when our ayat are recited to them, Ibn Qudama says, وَلَا يُتْلَى إِلَّا مَا هُوَ حُرُوفٌ وَكَلِمَاتٍ. Nothing can be recited except as words and letters. What's that coming out of your mouth? Words and letters. That's it. That's one proof he gives. You need any more? Oh, yeah, I skipped over it. I got lazy. May Allah forgive me. May Allah forgive me for being lazy. I mean, yeah, I didn't mention it. Oh, no, we weren't using him as a proof. No, we weren't using him as a proof, for sure. Right. And if you want this one also, he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed us that the Quran is mahfuz in the sudur of the people, in the hearts of the people, and it's written on the pages of the lawh mahfuz. When he says that it's preserved in the hearts of the people, and it's written in the pages, the proof for this is بَلْ هُوَ آيَاتٌ بَيِّنَاتٌ فِي صُدُورِ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمِ in Surah Al-Ankabut, which is chapter 29, verse 49. This is the proof that is preserved in the hearts of the people of knowledge, and it's written in the pages. Verse 49, no, but they the clear ayat, written like verses in the Torah. Hold it. But they the clear ayat are preserved in the breast of those, on the chest or the hearts of those who have been given knowledge. That's it. Yeah. Yeah. بل هو آيات بينات في صدور الذين أوتوا العلم. No. But they, the clear ayat, now these parentheses sometimes, damn, we have no Quran, are preserved in the hearts of those who have been given knowledge. Alright? That's the proof for that. The proof that is written is, إِنَّهُ لَقُرْآنٌ كَرِيمٌ فِي كِتَابٍ مَكْنُونٌ لَا يَمَسَّهُ إِلَّا الْمُطَاهَرُونَ. And Surah Al-Waqi'ah, that surely it is a glorious Quran in a preserved book, none shall touch it but the pure. That's the proof that the Quran is preserved written in the pages, meaning the Lawh al-Mahfuz. Right? And this is also another proof that it's letters and words. Because nothing can be preserved written in pages except words and letters. Right? So that's another proof. Yeah, I mean, you know. And that's what Ibn Qudama says, وَلَا يُحْفَظُ وَيُكْتَبُ إِلَّا مَا هُوَ حُرُوفٌ وَكَلِمَاتٌ. Nothing can be preserved and written except that it is letters and words. Huh? Yeah, this is the Habashis argument. The Habashis say that the Quran is not the speech of Allah. That it's not the speech of Allah and it's not written, etc. When you hear me say, بَلْ هُوَ قُرْآنٌ مَجِيدٌ فِي لَوْحٍ مَحْفُوظٍ, that's my speech. That's what the Habashis said. And they got this from the Mu'tazila, of the past. It's because they don't believe Allah speaks. They don't believe Allah speaks. So this stuff that you hear, all this recitation that you hear coming from people's mouths, is their speech. But the belief of Ahl al-Sunnah wal Jama'ah is that it's our voices, but it's the speech of Allah. That the voice is created, but that which is being enunciated is not created. بَلْ هُوَ قُرْآنٌ مَجِيدٌ فِي لَوْحٍ مَحْفُوظٍ. Those words that you heard, those letters and those words are not created, but the sound that came from my voice, I mean the sound that came from my mouth, is created. That's the belief of Ahl al-Sunnah. Right. And that the words on the pages of the Mus'haf are created, the words, the ink that is used to write the words are created, and the hand that wrote it, and the pages that it's on is created, and the binding and the material and the elastic and the glue, all of that is created, but the words of Allah itself is not created. That's the belief of Ahl al-Sunnah pertaining to the speech of Allah and the Quran. Now, that's it. What does it mean by unclear verses?
verses that are not clear. Verses that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the meaning. There are three types of to the best of my memory, three types of mutashabihat verses. If my memory serves me correctly. No, not three types. Two types. They are those of which the ulama know the meaning of. And they are those of which only Allah knows the meaning of. There are some so-called allegorical verses, so-called unclear verses that the ulama do know the meaning of. And they share it with other people. They share it with us. Right. For instance, there's a verse, I don't remember exactly where is this verse. Okay, let me see if I can find it. There's a verse. Be patient, inshallah. See if I can find this verse and then we'll go. Where is this verse? Okay. I think this is the verse here. 59:17. I think this is the verse. Not absolutely sure. Nope, that's not it. Okay, let's see. I can't remember exactly where this ayah is, but there's an ayah that talks about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala testing Sulaiman with Shaitan taking his throne. Can't remember where it is. Let's see, just a minute. Oh, that's how people make the explanation of it. That's what I should say. Where is it? Let's try 34. I don't know where it is, but I wanted to use this as an example. This would be a clear example of the ulama giving us the explanation of something that is unclear. I don't know it. Anyway. Alhamdulillah, I don't know everything. 38. Alright, let's go. Inshallah. 7:38. Subhanakallah wa hamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.